TML country. It's time to dance.
Markins for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Catamount Insider. This is episode 17 of our 2025-2026 year. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Happy Friday morning to you. This week on Catamount Insider, I'm joined by Jim Plumer, the head coach of UVM Women's Ice Hockey. Coach Plumer and his squad have a big weekend coming up with Saturday, Northeastern, number one in Hockey East, number five in the country. And it's Pack the Gut on Saturday. So I wanted to sit down with Coach Plumer and hear about the season. You might remember we caught up with Kaylee Lewis, currently second on the team in points earlier in the year. But since then, the women's ice hockey team's been playing really well. Last weekend, they had a couple of rough games against Providence. We'll get into that with Coach Plumer. But prior to that weekend, it had been eight in a row since UVM had last dropped a game. They had a couple of shootout wins in there, wins in overtime, big wins where their offense was really finding their rhythm. So we talk about all that and more, about what's been working well for the Catamounts, and preview a really massive weekend and a massive finish to the season. They are in the heart of the Hockey East season, really the back end even of the season now, but right in the thick of Hockey East standings, where they could finish anywhere theoretically from kind of fourth all the way down to ninth in the standings. It's really a crazy year when you look at the middle of the Women's Hockey East standings picture. So we preview the rest of the season as well and talk about how Coach Plumer brought in reinforcements this season, how they've started to play their best hockey, and more. Hope you enjoy this week's episode, everybody. Coming up next, head coach of UVM Women's Ice Hockey, Jim Plumer.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. Thrilled to be joined this week by Jim Plumer, head coach of the UVM women's ice hockey team. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Brian. It's always good to chat.
Always great to chat. We've got a big weekend coming up here in Burlington. Of course, Pack the Gut with first place Northeastern in town, and Thursday, BU enters with a little Hockey East matchup. Yep. The team right in the thick of Hockey East play with only six regular season games remaining. That's crazy to me that we're already on the back stages here. But just kind of tell me about where the team's at right now. I've been playing some great hockey. I know last weekend didn't quite go the way everybody wanted it, but had been playing some really good hockey and climbing in the Hockey East standings. Where's the team at right now?
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned in the thick of the Hockey East race and the sort of middle of the table or the standings is really it's really clustered, and you know, one weekend can make a huge difference. We went in a two weekend stretch. We went from ninth place to being alone in fifth place, and then last weekend we went from fifth place to eighth place with a couple of losses. So, you know, we'd been playing great hockey when we came back. We had a really difficult schedule first semester, which was good in some ways. We played a really challenging non-conference schedule, including playing Wisconsin, number one team in the country, and Penn State, number five. So a lot of games against top 10 teams out of conference and in conference. And we kind of struggled to get any momentum. And I think the break came at a good time. We came back refreshed. We made some adjustments in what our goals were and how we were approaching certain things. And, you know, we're able to get off to a good start and get a nice little streak of eight unbeaten with six wins. And even the ties that we had, we won the shootout. So we had a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum. And, you know, it sort of puts a spring in everybody's step. It was fun last weekend. Played one poor game, one really good game that we didn't get the result. But you know, now here we are. These last six games are a result of change in the Hockey East schedule where we're playing. We don't play everybody three times, so these are our third time around with six teams, two different opponents every weekend. So this is our first one, so gotta be prepared for two different teams.
How does that change preparation when you're just instead of preparing for one team twice in a weekend, seeing kind of two different identities across the ice?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we try to focus on the first team that we're playing. I think one of the benefits of just the way the schedule worked is a lot of these teams we've played relatively recently. We're playing BU tomorrow night. We just played them last weekend. So we don't need a big refresh or pre-scout, that kind of thing with them. Northeastern we haven't seen since the mid-November, I believe. So, and we do have a unique a day in between, so we can reset the team and have a little bit of a practice to prepare for Northeastern. But you know, you got two different coaches that are focusing on two different teams. So behind the scenes, we're doing all the work. What the kids see is pretty much just preparing for the one in front of us.
I want to ask you about that stretch out of the break where the team, the team's just been playing so well. You mentioned it, eight in a row unbeaten with those shootout wins kind of rolling the momentum along. What from an on-ice perspective was going well for the group in that period that you're still confident can be going well moving forward?
Yeah, well for one thing, our lines, the gelling of our lines, our forward lines really came together. We still had 10 new players that came in this year. We had six freshmen and four transfers. The four transfers, by and large, all playing important roles. And even though they're experienced college hockey players, getting to know our systems and our personnel and our style of play still takes some time. I think one of the most important things was the one sort of new line that we had put together with Morgan Skoda, McKenna Lloyd Howe, and Darcy Mattson when we came back from break really started, and it took some time. There's not enough practice time for those guys to really get meaningful reps together. And so the games become those opportunities. And it gave us three lines that were dangerous and that it became a matchup problem for other teams. Our fourth line was doing a great job of giving us good, honest forechecking shifts and keeping the game simple. So I think our depth really showed through. Special teams became also another thing that was gelling. Our power play, that was, you know, really, we had so many aspects. There wasn't a single aspect of our game that I was satisfied with after the first half. But special teams were probably at the top of the list. Our power play has been at roughly 30% since we've been back. New coach, Eric Strand, coming in this year, takes some time to get to know the players, them to know him, what he wants, his style. He's a very detail-oriented coach, and so you know, having more time to practice, having again those game reps, and then seeing some success and building some confidence that way. Penalty kill has been marginally better, like statistically, but actually on the ice, like we had one game that kind of we gave up three power play goals that kind of skews the stats. But I think there's a feeling in our team that there's a lot more confidence in our penalty kill as well. So those are probably the biggest things. And the goaltending with Zoe Klisch playing those eight straight games was also a big part of it.
Those shootout wins, I know they're ties, but
yeah.
How big is that for momentum when you're still feeling like you're walking away, coming out on top in one way?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season and with as close as the standings are, every point is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first one that we had, you know, during January there was against Merrimack in a game that we had given up three power play goals in the first period and clawed our way back to tie. And it felt like a win. And then it so happened the first game of the next weekend was another one of those. And Morgan scored a couple great goals to get us going on the first one. And you know, I think when you score on that first shootout attempt, it certainly gets the confidence going.
I wanted to ask you about Julien Mesplède, representing the French national team in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Of course, not your first Olympian, but how special is that to have an active player on the roster go over and be able to represent her country?
Well, 8:40 tomorrow morning, I'll be watching her play in their first game. You know, my first experience with that was in 2022 when we had three players, Sini Kajalein and Natalie Milinkova and Christina Pakova, that were playing, but such a different environment with them not having any fans, and it was a closed off studio Olympics, if you will. And just talking to Julia, just texting with her this morning about how exciting it is in the Olympic Village, and even Sini Kajalein, and also who's with Finland this year, same thing, completely different experience than they had before. But it's really special when you get to watch your current players and the teams all watching it, and everybody's into it. So really excited for that to get started tomorrow.
Can you tell me about when she found out she was going to be able to represent France, and kind of what the reaction from her teammates was like, and what was that moment?
Yeah, well, you know, she's been on the national team since before she got here, and France's path to the Olympics, to be in the Olympics, was a little different than the other countries, and not to go deep into a rabbit hole of how the selection process works, but there's a qualification tournament for the sort of top teams get automatically in, and the host team gets in. And so she went through that qualification last year at this time. They didn't make it, but because the Olympics aren't allowing Russia to compete, they found out in the summer that France was going to be able to go, was the next team in. So she wasn't here when we found out, but then there was a little bit of internal politics in the fall with their coaching staff, and not sure what their team was going to look like. So she really had to go re-earn that spot. And she's a kid that isn't like, she's kind of introverted around, you know, to the general population. So I think when she finally found out, and the big smile on her face, and just our team culture is so close, and to watch the other people on our team support her and cheer for her, and now to be able to see it when it happens, it's really cool.
She's obviously a key part to your team this year. Is there any aspect of, man, I'm proud of my kid, but sure wish we had her right now for a clutch stretch of the season?
Absolutely. She's playing by far the best hockey she's played in her 4 years with us. And, we missed her for the first Northeastern weekend in November. We had to miss her for a weekend in December also. She had some visa issues that she needed to clear up. So we haven't actually done very well without her. She's playing on one of our top two lines, and she scored 9 goals. And, that's, I think, coming into this year, she'd only scored 2 goals in her career. So definitely bittersweet in that sense. Happy for her, but she's a key part of our team.
How do you try to, not replace her, but what's the messaging, though, to then trying to fill those shoes and replicate the things that she does bring to this team and the things that are important for this team?
Yeah, it's hard to exactly replicate it, and those are conversations we've had about, do we look to put her, replace her with someone who plays like her, or sort of the next best person, and without upsetting the other lines, right? So, like, we've got these three lines that we're real happy with, so we went in the direction of taking someone that we thought was gonna fill in and do well, and we always have a next man up mentality. And it can happen because of injuries. This was unique because we knew all along that this was going to be coming, and that there was going to be a point where we were going to need someone there, and here we are. And Hillary Wilkin got tapped for that spot last weekend, did a good job. She's still there for this weekend.
I owe you a quick break with Coach Plumer. He returns on Catamount Insider right after this.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
As we look at these kind of last 6 games remaining, area of focus in your mind as far as what in practice you're really kind of keyed in on and the things that for your team you feel like we need to just continue to really work on this to be in the best spot possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think we pride ourselves on being a team that's hard to play against. We play an aggressive style in both zones, or all three zones, really. And so I think, you know, having seen everybody in the league now and sort of understanding how we match up, I think even more so the focus is on us playing our best and making the minor adjustments that we need to based on who we're playing and the personnel they have. But Northeastern's definitely the most talented team in our league, and we haven't played anybody in the top half of the standings yet since we've been back. So excited to see how we match up with the way our lineup's gelling. Our D-Corps playing really well. I haven't mentioned them, but that's a huge part of it. And so beyond, not looking beyond BU tomorrow night, but you know, I think knowing that we have Northeastern and then we'll have Holy Cross, who's in third place, coming up on that last weekend of the year, excited to play those guys with the way our team's playing right now.
This weekend, Pack the Gut, always such a special event here at Gutterson Fieldhouse. Saturday against number 5, first place Northeastern. How important is it to have a great atmosphere, and what can that do for your team?
I mean, we saw it earlier this year when we had our classroom game, first time we ever had that, and we had, you know, I don't know, 1,700 or 1,800 people here for an 11 a.m. game on Halloween. Which we had some fun with our coaches wearing costumes and all. But it makes a huge difference. And I think especially against a top opponent, to know that we're going to have a pretty good crowd, maybe a great crowd. I think there's reason for people to be excited about this team and come out and see us, for the game to be on Nesson. And you know, so I know we're going to be ready. And that's definitely, you know, seventh man, whatever. I guess we got 6 players already, so that, you know, that's your seventh man, having a crowd cheer behind you.
As far as that goes for the girls, what does that do for their on ice energy? Just knowing when there is a big crowd, what does that bring for them?
I mean, we saw it right from the puck drop against Boston. It was against Boston College, that classroom game, and you know, the cheering for everything that's even a little bit good that happens out there, and then you score a goal and the place erupts. And you know, we feel it, you know, during warm-ups we're going to have more people here than we might have for a normal game. So yeah, no question it puts a spring in your step.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of the specific newcomers you've brought in. Stella Retram right now leading the team in points, 4 goals, 2 assists in her last 4. One of those players you said who's come in the offseason as a transfer, how has she settled in and what's really helped her kind of catch fire of late?
Well, she's a skilled player, and you never know exactly what you're going to get, what you can get out of the transfer portal. I mean, it's been a couple years now that we've been active. We weren't very active with it in the first few years of its existence. And so with a team last year that really struggled to score, we only scored 51 goals in the whole season last year. And I think we're in the 60s already this year. So we knew we needed goal scorers. She was a kid who had scored. She and Morgan Skoda, who came from RPI, both had scored more goals than anyone on our team did last year. So they had each scored 9 goals last year. Our leading scorer only had 6 goals last year, which is not something for us to brag about. And so we knew that she had been able to score in college, played on a top line at Penn State for about a year and a half of her 2 years. She was on the first line playing with Tessa Janicki, who's on the U.S. Olympic team, and had a prolific high school career. So, you know, that was a huge part of it. She knew Josie Hemp, which was a big part of her and Lauren O'Hara both being attracted here. They both had played with Josie growing up. And so, culture-wise, unbelievable fit. She loves it here. She's comfortable. She's one of those people that it took really most of first semester for her to sort of settle in with her line, with her, you know, our style of play. one of the things that kind of surprised me about her, honestly, is she's a pretty good two-way player. She's on her penalty kill. She's a good defender. It's not something I think she thought of herself as. We've that's something that we stress here. And, she's opportunistic. She has some instincts for the net that you don't teach. That, you know, there's a puck, there's a play happening around the net, and she's there. And, you know, we can hear pucks bouncing off the wall in there right now. And their kids are doing skills and working on finishing. But some of those things you don't work on in a skill session. They're just gifts.
You mentioned O'Hara, 4 goals and 13 assists for her in her first year in the green and gold. How have you approached the transfer portal? Because it is so prevalent across college athletics. How have you tried to balance that in your program?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting going forward, because I think we feel really comfortable with what the team that we have now, and looking, I mean, we can kind of look 2 years out with our recruiting and what we have coming in. But we did, you know, we lost in from the 23 class, a group with Teresa Schaffsall and Sini Karjalainen and Corinne McCool, Elise Murphy, Jesse McPherson, really
what a class.
Impactful players. And, then we had some kids transfer out for their fifth year in that last year of eligibility, Natalie Milinkova. So sometimes you're not really sure. You get hit by surprise with some holes you have that you need to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, recruiting's never an exact science. So, like, sometimes it doesn't work out, and you're looking and saying, okay, we need a little something in this spot. And, you know, the goal scoring was a great example. And Lauren was really the last piece of it. It came in, she, I think, went in the portal maybe the last day it was open and took her time. But it was someone that we knew what her pedigree was. She had been kind of third, fourth line kid at Minnesota, was looking for an opportunity to play a more impactful role. And now she's a absolutely key part of all of our special teams, power play, penalty kill, five-on-five play, good face-off person. She brought size. That was another thing we got out of the portal. Morgan Skoda and Lauren O'Hara, both 5'11 forwards. And now we've got net front presence. Morgan's great around the net, screening the goalie. We call it her office, picking up garbage and putting rebounds in and being able to dangle and snipe as well. So, I think it's the kind of thing that you don't really know until the season's over. And if, we had some people that left last year, Lara Beecher left last year, and quite honestly, like, we feel like it's worked out better for us. And we didn't want any of those people to leave. We didn't ask them to leave, but we made the best of the situation. And I really enjoy coaching this team. It's a really great group of people.
Can you tell me about maybe a player, a couple players who, beyond the box score, beyond the stat sheet, are doing things that are really key for when your team's playing well and winning?
Yeah, I mean, our decor, we've spent most of this time talking about our forwards and maybe touched on the goalie for a second. But, like, we came into the season with only 6 defensemen on the roster, and that was one of those things. Haley Eichos left late in the process last year, and we had the opportunity to bring in Lauren O'Hara, who was a forward. We didn't necessarily, on paper, need another forward, but to have someone of that caliber was the right thing to pursue that instead of another defenseman. And so this whole group of decor and is, we went in with 6 and kind of held our breath and crossed our fingers that we weren't going to have an injury. And we haven't had that as of yet.
There's knock on
wood,
some more.
Any wood around here for me to knock on. But, Ashley Kokovec, great playmaker, great passer, great vision, creative, can quarterback the play. Josie Hemp's another one who probably doesn't get as much press, but I think she's got 5 goals now. Scored a key goal against Providence here last weekend. Also power play, penalty kills, 5-on-5, physical. So that group, and the one who probably doesn't get as much credit as she deserves, Anna Podine, our captain, who's here for a fifth year because she redshirted her freshman year. And steady Eddie defenseman, short shifts, hard to beat one-on-one, doesn't look for a lot of glory, but makes good plays. And the whole that group of, and maybe psychologically they're comfortable in knowing that there's no one taking their spots because there's only six of them. But Natalie Zarconi has had an unbelievable 2026. Brooke George has been steady, and freshman Sophia Dianzeres, who's, you know, another kid, 5'11", unbelievable skill set, but freshman learning the game, has also come back and been able to make a bigger impact. So I'd say probably that entire decor, but maybe Josie and Kokovec more than the others are really stepping up their game as Zarconi.
I just want to wrap up with you. As we look at the Hockey East standings, like you said, there's been so much shuffling, kind of, yeah, especially in that middle of the pack. Northeastern, of course, top of the league right now. You guys sit right now in eighth place, but only 3 points back, yeah, of fifth. Yeah. It really could change in just 60 minutes of ice action.
Yeah.
Is there a goal for you guys, is where you want to finish by the end of the regular season, or is it just kind of a game-by-game situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it, you know, it sort of depends. You, once we started Hockey's play again and we were in ninth, I think the goal was to, you know, try to get up in that 4-5 area. I think if we were doing this a week ago when we were in fifth, I thought there was a path to fourth for us if we could keep it rolling. The results of last weekend probably changed that. But I think to first thing, to get out of that play-in game on Wednesday, so you got to be in the top six. So you know you've got adequate time to prepare for a quarterfinal. You know who your opponent's going to be. I think to be in that 4 or 5 games probably still a realistic goal for us, given that the three other teams that we're sort of that are in 5, 6, 7, we're playing them in the next six games. Yeah. So we have that head-to-head opportunity. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just got to win the game in front of us. And, you know, we can't control anything but those three games that we play against those other teams. And, you know, we got to get back to being able to play a complete game like we did in that streak that we had.
All right, fans, just a reminder, this weekend, two games here at home, Thursday, 6 p.m. against BU, and then it's first place Northeastern in town Saturday at 5 p.m. Pack the gut, make it loud. Jim, thank you so much for joining Catamount Insider this week.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Jim Plumer for joining us this week on Catamount Insider. He's always so gracious with his time whenever I want to take the time to sit down and have a chat. Again, it's a huge stretch of the season on the horizon for women's ice hockey. At the time of our recording, they had 6 games left in the regular season. Now, as you're listening to this recording, just 5 games remaining for Coach Plumer in the regular season of the women's ice hockey year. And then for them, they're hoping for a nice deep playoff run when it comes to the Hockey East playoffs. So thanks again to Coach Plumer for just giving us some insight on where they're at this point in the season. Thanks everybody for joining us this week on Catamount Insider. Such a great week of Catamount sports, and oh man, do we have a big next week coming up for you as well. Lacrosse season is getting underway, women's basketball, men's basketball, skiing, swimming and diving, track and field. Feels like every team is in action in some way or another this time of year. So I hope you're staying busy, staying warm, staying safe and healthy. I'll talk to you next Friday morning, everybody. This is Catamount Insider.